This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Gauteng and FMR in Cape Town.
Well, we welcome back with the view from the markets. Liston Maintjies, portfolio manager at Invest Securities. Liston, great to have you back on the show. Happy New Year.
Well, great, yes. Happy New Year to you and the listeners.
How are you finding the market as we head into the new year and into 2019? It does feel to me, and you might disagree here, you probably will, that we're seeing Trump softening his rhetoric on the trade war.
Well, I think he's in a difficult position simply because he is now a lame duck president. And it's shown up in a couple of places, not the least of which is the shutdown and a little bit of a spat with Nancy Pelosi, who was due to take a visit, and he said, sorry, you can't have a plane. So that's kind of where he is. And her answer is, you're not having a wall. That's it. So definitely, the fact that markets have recovered substantially flies actually in the face of what's on the ground. The longest shutdown in American history, Brexit Plan A being voted down, Europe still in a bit of a quandary, particularly with regard to Italy. Hey, again, markets are bouncing back. Part of it, I think, just to be fair and just to also, you know, talk about the new year, it's gone extremely well in January, but that's after a really disastrous December. Now, again, just one of the very little known facts is the American tax system. And there you pay tax in the calendar year. So your tax year is 1st of January to 31st December. And again, if you're going to make a loss on shares for capital gain purposes, you do it the week before Christmas, or you know pretty well whether you're making a profit or a loss then. So honestly, I think an awful lot of that was related to tax. People taking their losses, right, and, you know, just selling to make sure they've actually taken that
loss. You know, not many market commentators have actually picked up on that, but it was a horrible December on the S&P. I think the worst since 1931, if memory serves me correctly. Not that I was around in 1931, but I read something to that effect. So it really was a horrible December. And then to see the markets come bouncing back, for lack of a better word, from there, they seem to have pushed an awful lot in anticipation of a China deal. We'd need to get something definitive sooner rather than later, though. This is all on hopes and expectation. We haven't seen anything concrete yet.
Well, again, no tariffs have been reduced. You know, it's just getting settled and a little bit less worse than it was going to be. So, again, there's lots of talk and lots of whatever, but you've got to see what happens at the end of it. And I think we know the character of the President of the United States. You know, he certainly wants it his way or no other way. And the die is cast. I mean, you've already seen it's a slowdown in the Chinese economy. They had fewer vehicles sold in 2018 than the year before. That's the first time they've had a decline annually in vehicle sales in 10 years or more. You know, so the die is cast. Unfortunately, it's on a downward slope. And a lot of those industries in China are pretty marginal. They've got shadow banking problems. I just say, you know, I actually can't write a good script from where we are now. But a bounce back from the lows was, you know, almost a given. The real question is, but how high? And the actual answer, I use, you know, sentiment gauges. And most certainly the sentiment gauges started to give up in October. You can actually almost go back to the day in October that everybody suddenly said, my goodness me, it isn't working.
Calling it Shocktober.
Yeah, well, exactly. So I think we have seen the top for a fair while. A number of commentators say the same, but there are still the optimists around.
That's for global markets, the US market in particular. What about South Africa? We have obviously a very high correlation to what happens in the rest of the world, but there were quite a few commentators this time last year who seemed quite drunk on the punch of rum euphoria. That has dissipated to some extent. We've got Team South Africa over in Davos at the moment trying to sell the SA Inc. story. Looking at our market, we've had quite a good month so far. I think we're up around 5% so far. Is this buying in positioning of a turnaround post the election?
Well, again, no, it's where it is. And as you know, Naspers is by far the largest on our market. And, you know, in its low, and that was probably in October, it got down to about 251 or 2, and it's now 316. Now, I mean, you know, that's a 60 move on 250. I promise you, that is a very, very large move. So that moves the whole index just on its own. But again, we've looked at companies like Absa, and by the way, Absa was the second biggest trader today, which I found interesting because it isn't usually in that position. So there's definitely news around it and where it's going and what it's doing and why it's doing it. Fair bit of discussion around it. And again, you know, our banking industry is beset with all kinds of questions and problems, and not the least being new entrants into the business and the raising of rates in November, which I didn't think should have happened. And they had a meeting, you know, last week and didn't basically admit it was a mistake. But
there was no mea culpa. This,
but no, our expectations have moderated. Yeah.
CPI is going to be released this week, and we're expecting further moderation in the CPI.
So I would even go as far as to say significant moderation. I've got a number of 4.5 to 4.6 on it. And it also carries on looking quite good for the rest, because remember last year we had a fuel price increase, we had a VAT hike. Those are not coming again this year. So that's, you know, bits that drop out of the beginning of the measuring period, not to be matched. So I'm quite optimistic on inflation for the next couple of months. And the real test, you know, over and above all that, still becomes the oil price and the rand. I won't be surprised at all to see positivity. Creep into people's expectations, which hasn't been there for a long time.
Which might even, who knows, give the hawks in the Saab a run for their money. We did see, or hear at least, the cooing sounds of gentle doves out of the Saab last week. I sit on the same side of the fence as you do on the preemption or the preemptiveness of the Saab the last time it decided to hike. I thought the risks were probably on the downside, considering where we had seen the oil price fall to from its highs earlier on in the year, around $80, and our currency had strengthened quite significantly. So it seemed to be the least risk option was perhaps do nothing into a festive period that was clearly not a great retail shopping experience for some. We saw Woolies and Mr. Price last week. We've got a few others this week, Massmart and ShopRite. They certainly are the A-team of retail management out there, set to announce their trading numbers. Why are we not seeing the South African consumer out there and spending at a time when at least we have seen a bit of deleveraging? Is it just a confidence issue? Is it the fact that we've got a Saab hiking rates and there's a whole lot of uncertainty around the future of the country right now?
No, the pressure was getting worse and worse as we went into November, and that's why I thought they shouldn't give that increase. And then people were paying the highest petrol price in December. So people were really maxed out. There just isn't that much left over by the time you've done your transport and food. And remember, as I said, VAT went up earlier in the year. So it's been a progression. And I just don't see any real liberation on that. And it largely comes from the fact that the job creation is not there. Now, we hear about job creation in every public utterance, and it's wonderful to talk about. I want to see it happen.
Well, there we go. Yet more promises. And it does seem like reading through the manifesto, we're going to be debating it and painting some scenarios with a very skilled scenario planner, Frans Cronier, on the panel later. But the ANC tends to pick and choose its measuring or its yardstick. It sometimes goes all the way back to 94. Other times it looks back only 5 years on certain promises. And we really have reached a point where we can't pick and choose anymore. We need to judge each administration by its five-year term. And on that count, the ANC is certainly failing dismally on the jobs front. I just want to conclude.
But gaining support into the bargain.
But gaining.
Largely because the others don't represent a credible alternative.
Own goals much. There aren't any out there who really present a credible or first, second, or third choice right now, listen. The earnings season in the US has kicked off. Netflix underwhelmed somewhat. Some of the banks have been a mixed bag. What are you expecting overall?
Now, well, again, the earnings season particularly is quarterly there. And again, we've reached now a stage where the tax cuts that they were given last year can't be repeated, won't be repeated. So the earnings growth, by definition, will slow down. I think there was a slowdown in a number of places anyway, and I watched things like home sales, car sales, and the rest, and there's definitely been a whole slowdown. The government shutdown doesn't help, and there may be some shopping once people get their paychecks back, but that is the longest shutdown in history. So people are taking a very cavalier attitude to it. I think it's a lot more serious than it looks.
And interestingly, we had the IMF coming out with its global growth forecasts. We always take the IMF and the World Bank with a large bag of salt because they generally are revised downwards.
You don't want to hear my slogan on the IMF, do you?
Absolutely.
Late, trite and useless.
It did maintain its US growth projections, 2.5% this year, 1.8% in 2020.
Well, India's doing fine.
And we know India's doing well. You mentioned China earlier. I'm sure anyone in South Africa would bite your arm off for 6.6% annual growth, but that's the slowest growth that they've had since the years of Tiananmen Square.
Well, the growth was equal to the Australian economy.
Oof.
It sort of puts it in perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah, the numbers are so large, I don't think many of us can really get our heads around it. Lister Mainchi's a portfolio manager at Invest Securities with your view from the markets. Let's cross now to Pusuletso to find out what's happening out on the roads.